Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm into the middle of my third week of teaching on how to fulfill your destiny. And I tell you, this is a powerful teaching. I believe that this is making a huge difference in people's lives. Of course, I'm making these programs in advance, so I don't have the figures, the actual facts in front of me, but I just know in my heart that this has hit a nerve and that people have been responding, especially to this Destiny Stories DVD that we've got. We've now played three of these DVDs out of the four that are on here about people's testimonies about how God has impacted their life, and I tell you, it really speaks to me. You know, we live in a world today where they honor all of these people because they're a politician or because they're a sports star or because they're a movie star. And in many cases, I'd say the majority of those cases, those people are just bankrupt, destitute morally. And yet they're the ones that people look up to and make the front of our covers and stuff. These people doing things like this, these are the real heroes. These are the people that our young people should be looking up to today. These are people that have laid their life on the line and they're making a difference and their life is counting and they're impacting people. And I tell you, I think this is great. It's really good. And I encourage you to get those products. Now, today I'm continuing with my teaching on how to fulfill your destiny. We've already talked about that everybody has a destiny. And the first step in fulfilling your destiny, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is to become a living sacrifice. That verse says, "And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And for the last few days, this is what I've been emphasizing, that you can't get around this. There's no other way to reach your destiny God's way except to go through becoming a living sacrifice. And that is precisely the reason that so few people know for sure that they are fulfilling their destiny is because they aren't a living sacrifice. They do what they want to, when they want to, how they want to do it. They know that God says to do this, but that's not what they want to do. And they just are still in control of themselves. You will never arrive at your destiny if you are a self-centered, self-dependent, self-motivated person. You need to become God-dependent in all of these areas. So we've already talked about that. I'm not minimizing that at all, but that's not all that there is to it. The second verse of Romans chapter 12 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Before you get to proving, making manifest to your physical senses what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, you have to not only be a living sacrifice, but you also have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is very, very important. I cannot overstate this. Becoming a living sacrifice, as important as that is, it can kill you. And I know some of you are shocked and not understanding what I'm saying, but let me give you a personal testimony that I could give you two or three of these. But, you know, when I first got really turned on to the Lord and I just made this decision about being a living sacrifice, I mean, we were willing to do anything. We were willing to die if that's what it took to glorify the Lord. And because I didn't know the Word of God, I actually went and heard a preacher who preached on this message that he called Satan is God's messenger boy. And he said all of the troubles that come into your life are permitted by God. Satan can't do anything without God's permission. It's like a dog on a leash. He can only go as far as his master will let him go. And if Satan is doing something in your life, it's because God gave him that much leash. And so therefore, God is ultimately responsible. Now that is absolutely wrong, what I've said right there. But that's what I was being taught. And because I'd made this decision to be a living sacrifice, and many of my friends, I mean, we had a real revival. And many of my friends made that same decision. And we were willing to die for the Lord. You know what? That teaching, because we hadn't done the second step, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are some of us, some of that group that died. For instance, there was this girl that I was really close to, and we were unofficially engaged to be married. I never actually proposed to her, but I thought about it. She thought about it. And I was in Vietnam, and when she died or went into the hospital right before she died, her parents told the Red Cross that we were engaged to be married, and I got an emergency leave and came home from Vietnam, and I was with her when she died. And you know why all of this happened? Because I brought home this teaching that said Satan is God's messenger boy. It's Satan that's doing these things, and God gets glory out of all of this. And on that teaching, this man used an example and said that there was a boy in high school who was too bashful, too timid to be a witness, and so he just prayed this prayer, God, do whatever it takes if you have to kill me to get glory out of it so that people can be born again, then kill me. And he prayed, and he got leukemia and died, and at his funeral, four of his football buddies got born again at his funeral. That was the example. Now, again, I believe that Satan took advantage of that prayer. That's not accurate, but that's the way it was presented. And it was said that God did all of this, and if you'll make yourself a living sacrifice, God may want to kill you to get glory out of it. I brought that teaching home. I gave it to this girl. She listened to it. And you know what she did? Because she was a living sacrifice, and she was willing to do anything to glorify the Lord. She prayed that exact prayer and said, God, if this will glorify you, then I want you to give me a cancer, give me leukemia, so that I could glorify you. The next morning, she passed out, was bleeding. They took her to the hospital. She had acute leukemia. She died. I was with her when she died. She strangled from hemorrhaging on her own blood. And we stood there for over 2 hours praying and asking God to raise her from the dead, not having enough maturity to understand that you can't open up a door to the devil and ask for cancer and then turn around and ask God to heal you of it. That's double-minded. There was nothing wrong with our heart. It was right, but our head was wrong. And because we only had one part of this, that girl died. And that wasn't God's will. And I have another testimony that goes right along with it, not too long after. I went back to Vietnam, and I tell you, it was hard. And that's when I really got into the Word, and I began to renew my mind. But I was getting bits and pieces. I hadn't got it figured out. When I got out of Vietnam, about a year or so after that, I forget the exact timing, but after I'd been back for, this is 2 or 3 years after this girl had died, I got engaged to Jamie. And right before we got married, I went for my physical, you know, so I could get a marriage license. And I had yellow jaundice, which isn't terminal unless you continue to just work and do things normal. The only treatment, they don't have a cure. You just lay down and it's total bed rest and you get over it in a few weeks' time. But if you continue to just do things, it could lead to a coma or even death. And I had had 2 or 3 dreams where Satan attacked me. And it's a long story. I hadn't got time to go into all of this. But in these dreams, it was just bad. And I got up and rebuked him. I actually woke up one night and I was bleeding. I believe that demonic things attacked me. And I rebuked these dreams and said, no, this isn't of God. And then I was in a Dairy Queen in Nacogdoches, Texas, which was hours away from where I lived. And a woman walked into this Dairy Queen that I'd never seen before. And she quoted from an obscure scripture in the book of Job and says, God speaks once, yea, twice in visions of the night, in deep sleep, in dreams when sleep falls upon man. And when she said that, all of the hair on the back of my neck stood up because I'd had these dreams where Satan was attacking me, but I dismissed them as being of God. And she turned around and quoted that scripture and she says, you thought those dreams were from the devil, but they're from God. Now that was supernatural. It wasn't God's supernatural, but it was supernatural. And you know what it made me do? It made me go back and start reconsidering that. And then this man who had the teaching entitled Satan is God's messenger boy, who preached that message that caused this girl to ask for leukemia and eventually died. This man came to our church and was holding meetings. And he heard about all of these things that had happened to me. And he had 7 incurable diseases. He had had them for 8 years. And he was just a shell of a person. They even ran an EKG on him, and it showed that he was dead according to the EKG. And yet he was preaching in the church. And anyway, he just zeroed in on me, and he got to talking to me about God's going to break you. God's going to do this. And he prophesied over me that God was going to put me into a coma and make a human vegetable out of me. For 8 years, I'd be in this coma. And then after I came out of this coma, God would use me and things would happen. And see, all of these things were lining up. I had these dreams. I had this prophecy from a woman I'd never seen who said that those dreams are from God, not from the devil. I had been diagnosed with this yellow jaundice, which if I didn't lay flat on my back, which I'd already determined I wasn't going to do, it could wind up in being in a coma. And all of these things culminated. And because I had made this decision that I was going to be a living sacrifice and God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. Because I'd made that commitment, you know what? I was willing to accept all of this stuff. And I, because of these supernatural occurrences, see, some people, they don't go by what the Word says. They just let circumstances. Satan can control circumstances. Satan can give supernatural things to people. People can say things under the inspiration of Satan, the same way that people say things under the inspiration of God. I was just so naive and so ignorant in the Word of God that I didn't realize all of this. And all of these things were coming to a head. And I remember that Jamie and I, this was just a very short, just a week or two before we were scheduled to be married. I had this yellow jaundice and I was having all of these prophecies and these dreams and this woman who came and all of these things had culminated. And this man who was preaching this message that God puts sickness and disease on you and does things to glorify himself. He was sitting across the table. There was probably 15 people at this table. We were out to eat and I was the focus of everybody's attention. They had heard about these dreams. They had heard about the prophecies. And this man was sitting right across the table from me and just, boy, taking it to me. God is going to put you into a coma. This yellow jaundice is going to cause you to go into a coma. You are going to be in a vegetative state for 8 years. And he was just prophesying death, doom, and destruction. And you know what? Because I had made this commitment that God, I'll do anything. If that was God's will, I was willing to accept it. I was just sitting there and saying, you know what? I'll accept it. It's God's will. I'll do it. And I know many of you are sitting there thinking, man, how stupid can you get? But I'm saying that it's absolutely essential that you become a living sacrifice. There's a lot of people that wouldn't have submitted to that because they would just, if it would have been a sacrifice for them, they wouldn't have done it. I'd already passed that stage. I was willing to do whatever it took. And if that was God's will, I'd do it. That's a necessary, good place to come to, but it's dangerous unless you also do what Romans 12:2 says about renewing your mind. And see, I hadn't got my mind renewed. I didn't really understand those things at that time. And so I was just sitting there letting them confess over me that I was going to be a human vegetable for 8 years. I was sitting there crying and just accepting it. And you know, the devil, I mean, the devil is so stupid. He just always, always, always pushes it too far. He had me. If he would have stopped right there, you would have probably never seen me, have heard of me. I'd have been killed along the way. He had me on the ropes. All he had to do is keep his mouth shut. But the devil just couldn't stop. And this guy, once he saw I was just sitting there crying, okay, I'll do it. I'll become a human vegetable. He just kept going. And he says, and even more than that, the worst part of everything that's happened to me is for 8 years, God has told me I can't study the Word. He has put me on a fast from the Bible for 8 years. And he won't let me open the Bible. The only time I open the Bible is to preach out of it and share with other people. Now, I didn't have my mind renewed about a lot of things. But this is one thing that I knew, that I knew, that I knew. And that was that Jesus is the Word. And that the Word of God is how everything in the kingdom works. It's like a seed that makes everything else work. And I had already learned this principle. I had experienced the power that the Word of God was making in my life. And when this man said that God was going to put me on a fast from the Bible for 8 years and I couldn't study the Bible or do any of that, I knew better than that. I wasn't smart enough to tell that he wouldn't put cancer on me, that he wouldn't make me go into a coma, that he wouldn't do some of that. But I knew that God would not keep me from understanding the Word of God. Man, this is what's given to make us perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Man, I wasn't about to just let go of the Word. And so here I was. I'd been crying. I was receiving all of these terrible things that was prophesying. But when he said that, the devil overplayed his hand. He pushed me too far. And I remember just instantly stopping. I stood up and I said, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I said, I will never submit to anything to where the Word of God isn't open and alive and God speaking to me. And I stood up with Jamie and we renounced this and told these people, you're crazy. I am not submitting to this. And we rejected all of their prophecies. And I tell you, if I hadn't have done that, I really believe that my commitment to make Jesus everything and to be a living sacrifice, Satan would have taken advantage of the good heart, but the dumb head, to have killed me. I believe I'd have died. I'd have never fulfilled my destiny. And this is exactly the reason that Romans 12:1 says you got to become a living sacrifice. But then in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, you got to do both steps. A person who is willing to do anything and yet doesn't have the right knowledge of the Word, Satan is going to prey on your ignorance and there's going to be tragedy come into your life. And I've already illustrated it in my own life by these two examples. There's thousands of examples of other people I've seen who they were good people. They loved God. They meant well. They had made a commitment. They were trying to live a sacrificed life unto God. But they didn't have enough knowledge of the Word to know that they had the power of God in them. And so they're just begging God to move, not understanding that God had already given them the power and that you have to speak to your problems and command them to get out of the way. And see, there's lots of good people who've reached this first stage and they are committed to God. They've made themselves a sacrifice, but they don't know the Word of God. They aren't taking their authority as a believer and using it. There are people that are submitting to sickness and poverty and disease, and they aren't resisting the devil because they think that God is in charge of everything that happens. I'm telling you, you got to combine these two. You've got to be a living sacrifice, but at the same time, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed there comes from the Greek word metamorpho. It's the word that we get metamorphosis from. And it's describing this process of where you have a little caterpillar spin a cocoon and then come out a few months later, this beautiful butterfly, go from a creepy, crawly thing to something that's beautiful and that flies. If you want to have metamorphosis, transformation, to where you go from someone who can't overcome a cold to someone who can see the dead raised, someone who is depressed and discouraged to someone who is rejoicing in the Lord always, someone who's timid and shy to someone who's bold and can stand and do whatever God tells you to do. If you want to see transformation, metamorphosis, you've got to be a living sacrifice and renew your mind. You got to combine those two things. It's not one or the other. See, there are some people who are trying to just stand on the Word, but they're still self-centered. They've never made a commitment to God, and so they misuse the Word and use it for selfish purposes and selfish intent. And we see this. You see this all of the time on television. Ministers that are manipulating the Word and doing things to pad their own pocket, to condemn people, to gain, notoriety or acclaim or whatever. That's wrong. But then on the other end, you see people that really have a good heart and they love God and they mean well, but they don't know what the Word says. That's wrong. You got to combine those two. You have to be a living sacrifice, plus you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This Greek word, metamorpho, that was used for transform, is the only two times that it's used, I think, in the New Testament, are in Romans 12:2 and also in Matthew chapter 17 when it talks about how that Jesus went up on the mount and he was transfigured. And all of a sudden, he began to radiate light. And he changed from just the physical outward being. His inner man began to radiate, transformed, transfigured. That's that same word. If you want to let the real glory of God that's been deposited on the inside of you shine out and shine through you and begin to start making a difference in your life and in the lives of other people, then you've got to be transformed, transfigured, metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. Boy, that's powerful. I just can't tell you. I don't have the words to put it out how important it is to combine these two and not to go for one or the other. Most people are extremists. They just get fanatical in one direction or the other. But the Christian life is more described like a tightrope where there's balance. You got to have balance. You can't go to one extreme. You can't lean too far in any direction. Yes, you need to be committed to God. And yes, you need to be willing to go anywhere and to do anything. But at the same time, you've got to have the knowledge of the Word of God to keep Satan from taking advantage of that willing heart. And then on the other hand, you can't just have the Word of God like a club. It's not just something that's physical. You got to understand the spirit of it. You got to have a tender heart so that God can speak to you so that you can rightly divide the Word of truth. And we see constantly people on one of these two extremes, but very seldom do you see the two combined. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is just absolutely imperative that you understand that for you to prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, you've got to be a living sacrifice. Not just a one-time deal. 20 years ago, you had an encounter with the Lord. It needs to be current. It needs to be living. And you need to renew your mind through the Word of God. You've got to get hold of the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that is going to put you over. You got to put these two things into combination. And I tell you, until you do that, you aren't going to see the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God come to pass. I don't know if this helps you, but if your heart is open, this has the potential of just changing your life. This is what revolutionized me. These two verses are what God used in 1967 to just literally jumpstart my life. You know, when people ask me to sign a Bible or something, I'll normally put Romans 12, 1 and 2 and tell them these are the verses that changed my life. This changed everything. And I really believe that if you would do the same thing, if you would become a living sacrifice and say, God, I'll be anything, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I don't want to lean unto my own understanding, and then not only make that decision, but get into the Word of God and change your values, change your philosophy, change your paradigm, your worldview, get your mind renewed. You put those two things together, and I guarantee you it's impossible for you to miss the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't put those two things together. Get one or the other, and you are going to be dangerous. You are susceptible to what Satan wants to do in your life. You've got to combine these two. I've got a lot more to share about this, but I'm going to have to continue it on our program tomorrow. I'd like to encourage you to join me then. And also, please listen as our announcer gives you information about this teaching on how to fulfill your destiny and also this Destiny Stories DVD. I tell you, this is really good material that'll bless you and other people. So please listen and call or write today.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories Volume 1 is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these Destiny Stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The third teaching in the CD album titled, Renewing Your Mind is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT-121C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I ask those of you who are being blessed by this program to pray about joining with me as a monthly partner. You know, we're seeing lots of people's lives change. These teachings are changing people's lives. I know it in my heart. And it costs a lot of money. We have to spend somewhere around, I think it's $650,000 a month just in television airtime. And then we have at least that much in employee salaries and materials that we put out. It costs millions of dollars per month to do what we're doing. And yet we make our materials available free or for a donation of whatever. The only reason I can do that is because the people who are receiving join with me, and we need monthly partners. I ask you to pray about it and then respond as God directs you.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd, and in South Africa for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.